morning. It's 8 o'clock on Thursday, the 18th of December. This is Nikki Price at breakfast. Your main story today, a Norfolk hospital which cares for children sectioned under the Mental Health Act is being accused of failing to keep them safe and their families properly informed.
My daughter's on a 7-bed ward and they said one member of the staff per child. If a child needs extra attention or care when they're trying to hurt themselves, you probably need a minimum of 2 or 3 staff to try and restrain the children, so that reduces your ratio straight away. We've got a couple of phone calls night time where you can't speak to the nurse because there's one nurse on for 3 wards.
That's John Powell, whose 14-year-old daughter is at Huntercombe Hospital near Aylsham. We'll have reaction from a local mental health campaigner next. First, the latest BBC Radio Norfolk news with Tim Sparrow.
Good morning. Concerns are being raised about staffing levels and communication at a mental health hospital for young people in Norfolk. Huntercombe Hospital near Aylsham has beds for children sectioned under the Mental Health Act. Care Minister and North Norfolk MP Norman Lamb says he shares the parents' concerns.
So I do have concerns when you hear what the parent has said, and I think it's really important that the Care Quality Commission fully understands exactly what is happening at this hospital. It's impossible to make a judgment ultimately about who's right and who's wrong.
The hospital says its staffing levels meet the guidance set by the Royal College of Psychiatrists and that parents don't always fully understand the complexity of their child's condition or treatment, which can make relationships between parents and the hospital challenging.
8 minutes past 8, Nikki Price at breakfast here on BBC Radio Norfolk. Welcome along to the programme. We're here until 9 o'clock. Now, the safety of young patients with mental health problems at one Norfolk hospital is being questioned by parents. Two families have contacted BBC Radio Norfolk with concerns about the Huntercombe Hospital at Buxton near Aylsham. John Powell drives to Norfolk from Somerset every weekend to see his 14-year-old daughter, who's a patient there. He says his daughter recently cut her wrist with a blade smuggled into the ward. Instead of being told what happened, John says staff told him his daughter was fine and sleeping. In reality, she'd been taken to hospital for treatment to the cut.
All we want is basically the truth, being transparent. I mean, I understand things do happen, mistakes do happen. I understand that. For example, this issue with this blade getting through the post. It happened, but we have no response saying how it happened, what they're going to do to improve it, how they can safeguard against it in the future. We've heard nothing at all. It's happened and that's it, finished.
Well, Jeremy Frost's 14-year-old daughter was admitted to a hospital, first of all in Maidenhead. When her condition worsened, she came to Huntercombe Hospital in Norfolk.
In Maidenhead, there were a lot of issues of inconsistent communication between staff and between staff and parents. Hygiene and levels of exercise, a lack of occupational therapy, lack of family therapy and so on. But at least there were enough staff. My concern at Huntercombe Norwich is that there aren't enough staff to cope.
Well, the hospital declined our request for an interview because it said it needed to respect patient confidentiality. In a statement, it said its staffing levels comply with the Royal College of Psychiatrists guidelines. For the 19 patients in the hospital, it has 80 care and clinical staff and 12 psychologists, doctors and therapists. The hospital says it tries to engage with parents who are naturally anxious and concerned about their children, but says in some cases they don't always fully understand the complexity of their child's condition or the treatment, which may lead to a difficult relationship between the parents and hospital staff. The statement goes on to say, in the case of the two parents who have complained to the BBC, the hospital director has recently been in discussion with the NHS commissioners about his concerns over relationships with the two parents and their attitude to hospital staff. Regarding the concerns over the updates the parents get on the care of their children, the hospital says there have been problems with the system. They've reviewed it to make sure parents have a single point of contact, and they say the issues have nothing to do with staffing levels. So that's the statement that's come to us from Huntercombe Hospital in Norfolk. It's near Aylsham. Here in the studio now is mental health campaigner Terry Skirm and also Dr. Irene Lamperts, who's a child psychologist who recently worked for the Norfolk and Suffolk Foundation Trust. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. Thank you very much for coming in. Terry, first of all, both parents who contacted us with concerns, having to travel hundreds of miles, well, you know, one family's coming from Somerset, one from London. Is this still very common?
It's absolutely common. Often children from Norfolk have to be sent a long way from Norfolk when they're admitted to hospital. In Norfolk ourselves, we are constantly having to assess children under the Mental Health Act. Have been placed there, placed in Huntercombe and places like that in Norfolk by areas like Somerset, London, all over the country, really.
Can you give us an idea of the kind of numbers of staff needed to look after. These children have very, very serious problems, don't they? And they need to be very closely monitored.
Well, obviously, they need the numbers of staff, but my concern is they also need the support of their own mental health team in their own area. And it must be extremely difficult for any team to support a child who's hundreds of miles away from where they are. I mean, as soon as a child comes into hospital, the planning for that child's discharge should start. You know, there should be a meeting, a very early on meeting, constant contact with the care coordinator, the key worker for that child, who should have a good relationship with that child. That's the way the child will be able to get out of the hospital quickly and back home.
And how much contact should parents expect, in a way, from the hospital? Because the parents here are saying they phone twice, once in the early evening, once later at night. How much, I mean, when you've got the hospital dealing with 19 patients who have very severe needs, how much contact normally should there be between them and the parents?
Well, the family is key to the child's progress, and the family should be actively involved in that child's care and treatment, should know what the plan is, should be working with the hospital closely, and obviously basic communication should be facilitated. You know, that's obvious, but the family are integral. You're talking about 14-year-olds here, aren't you? You know, the family is essential. They have to be involved. And again, if children are having to be placed hundreds of miles from home in private hospitals, what's going wrong with the service in general?
Yeah. Dr. Irene Lampitz is also in the studio. Good morning. Thank you very much for coming in. What effect can it have on children? I mean, obviously, they have to go where there is a spare bed, and if it's in Norfolk and you live in Somerset, your child goes to Norfolk. But what effect can it have on the children?
Can I just briefly say I'm a child psychiatrist, not a psychologist, just really. Well, the impact on children, I think, is different to adults, and that's a big point I want to make. I think children have different needs to adults, and one thing that I'm very concerned about is if children in the area of in the sort of time of cats are getting actually the trained staff they deserve. So in other words, there might be enough bodies, but what kind of experience this staff has to work with 14-year-olds is a different question.
I mean, the hospital said it's got enough staff, and it's confident that its staffing levels are up to the guidelines.
Right, yes.
That's what the hospital
has
told
us. My point is that a 14-year-old, like Terry said, cannot be treated in isolation, has to be treated in their support system, i.e. education, family, peer group even, and that is completely impossible if a child is placed for long periods of time without any input of these. It will lead to complete isolation and some sort of artificial recovery, possibly, because they are effectively separated from everything that's important to them and everything that is going to be important to them again once they leave hospital.
And in terms of the staff, and again the skills the staff need to look after children like this, who obviously are at risk of taking their own lives, of really very seriously harming themselves, how many members of staff will the child, say, come into contact with during a day? You know, how does it work at a hospital like that?
Well, hospitals and community service increasingly are, when they are under pressure, are not able to provide consistency of care. So very often young people will have to deal with very, very many people in their treatment. And again, I would make the point that this is more difficult for a young person who is still developing and who's looking for some kind of attachment, really, to a person to heal, as compared to maybe an adult person where you can sort of hope that they can cope with that and take the good bits of what the service has to provide. And my concern is that children, for financial reasons, I think, are increasingly being treated like adults, and the system is not suitable for particularly developmentally younger children.
Can children end up being a bit institutionalised in, not necessarily Huntercombe Hospital, but hospitals like it, you know, this kind of situation that they find themselves in at the age of 14?
I think that's absolutely right. Again, I think actually we should start thinking about a hospital admission under you know, section, even so it is necessary at times, like you said. I think we should think about it as a tragedy, because really what ideally every young person and child needs is intensive care in the community for a short time with the systems they are used to, they want to be with, and where they're educated and so on. So in other words, if we had daycare, if we had local beds, if we had, you know, crisis teams within the camps that was available for younger people, I think admissions could be prevented at times.
And of this costs money, doesn't it? This sort of wish list of how things should be, Terry. Do you get the impression that things are moving forward? I mean, Norman Lamb has been on the programme today saying we're doing what we can to improve things for particularly young people with mental health problems. Do you get the sense that things are moving in the right direction?
Not at all. The opposite. He says mental health services, children's mental health services, are in the dark ages. Well, we're being sent back to the dark ages by the cuts. NSFT had £44 million of cuts in the last 4 years, and we're facing another £40 million over the next 5 years.
This is the Foundation Trust?
The Foundation Trust, yeah, and it's children's services that experience the worst cuts, and also children's services. Norfolk County Council are facing £300,000 reduction in their budget. I think it's about to be announced today, isn't it, what the cuts are going to be for local councils?
They're announcing how much is going to each council.
Yeah, yeah, all these services help prevent children from becoming ill in the first place.
So you don't have a lot of optimism for how things are moving in terms of children's mental health?
No, he's set up this task force, which was set up last August. I think it's due to report in spring. But to me, it's like teaching your grandmother to suck eggs. We know what children need. We need the resources to do it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for coming in. Terry Skerr, I'm sure we'll talk again on mental health. You're a mental health campaigner, and also Dr. Irene Lampert's a child psychiatrist who's at work for the Foundation Trust. Thank you very much for coming in.